Good afternoon, Kristen supporters. Dennis Mann here, another podcast about stories from the Kristen Smart missing person case. And once again, I want to share with you a story that actually happened to me. A woman came up to me, tell me a little story about Paul that I think you'll find very interesting. 2017, so again, I'm going on memory here, but I think it was 2003. At that time, I was walking around the village of Arroyo Grande with a banner. It was 2 feet tall by 4 feet long, and it said, "Find Kristen Smart, dig up Susan Flores' yard." And I walked around the very town where Susan Flores lived because I wanted that backyard dug up. And the reason, the public needs to understand this, I wasn't just doing this haphazardly. Law enforcement, the FBI agent Jack Schaefer, wrote a search warrant to have that backyard dug up. All right, it was authorized to dig up the backyard, and I got this from the FBI agent Jack Schaefer himself. And the sheriff's department, they did go to Susan Flores' property on June 20th, 2000, and they were there all day because I got calls from the neighbors telling me that they were watching out their windows and they were giving me a play-by-play action. But they chose not to dig up the yard, and they left the property. So at some point after that, I asked for a meeting with Under Sheriff Steve Bolts, a very nice man. He invited me into his office, and I had a volunteer as a lady come forward. Said, "You know, my son owns a construction company, and he will gladly dig up that yard free of charge." So that was my premise for going to see Under Sheriff Steve Bolts to see if he would okay it. And he shot me right down. He said, "No way." He goes, "Not only would we not allow it," he said, "Dennis, if I found out that you were going to have somebody show up at Thursday at 2 o'clock to dig up the yard, I would make sure that Thursday at 1 o'clock, my men were there with their own backhoes to dig it up. And the reason I would do that is I wouldn't let you embarrass us like that," is what he told me. I thought it was kind of a strange thing to say, but like I said, when you sit in an office with Under Sheriff Bolts, he's a very nice man. And he wasn't saying it to be arrogant, but he was just kind of telling me the way the real world works. So I told him about the offer I had for the backhoe. And after he declined the offer, I asked him why that backyard wasn't dug up. And he said, "Dennis, well, you know, we took a vote that day. I voted in favor of it, but I was outvoted." And with that, the sheriff's department dug up and they left the property. So I'm walking around with this knowledge in my brain. I'm carrying this around. It's actually a burden, if you think about it. I have an email from the FBI agent saying the whole reason he wrote the warrant was he wanted that backyard dug up. He said it authorized it. And the fact that they didn't, he called it a lost opportunity. Then I got Steve Bolts telling me that they're not going to do it, that he voted in favor, but he was outvoted, so that's the way it is. Well, I'm like, screw that. So I went and got the banner walking around town. And I was just right near the courthouse in Arroyo Grande one day, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye, a car went by me and did a quick U-turn, and it pulled into the parking lot adjacent to where I was standing. A woman came out and said, "Hey, thanks for what you're doing, Dennis. I know that creep, Paul Flores. I want to tell you what happened to me one day." And she begins to recount the story that I'm going to share with you right now. Paul's father is a guy named Ruben Flores. He lives at 710 White Court in Arroyo Grande. It's up on a hill, and it's kind of ironic that such a man owns such a beautiful home with gorgeous property. You would die for the house and the land that he lives on. But it's kind of out of the way. You have to go down Tally Ho Road, I believe, make a left, go up the hill, and then it's a cul-de-sac. So you got to know where it is to find the place. And this girl was fresh. She had a girlfriend, and these are high school girls, that lived right next door to Ruben Flores. And one weekend, she went over for a sleepover, spend the night at her girlfriend's house. And I'm guessing it was in the middle of the night. She said it was in the middle of the night, so anywhere from 1 to 5 in the morning. She was sleeping, and she woke up, and she noticed that Paul Flores was sitting on the edge of her bed just looking at her. Now, she knew Paul. She recognized Paul as being a neighbor, so she shot right up to him. "What the hell are you doing here?" And Paul just looked at her real innocently. He goes, "I'm not doing nothing. I'm just sitting here looking. I'm just looking. I'm not doing anything." And she said, "Get the hell out of this house." And he did. He got up and he walked out and went back home. So he never assaulted her. But the fact that he had, as a teenager, he had the gumption in the middle of the night to walk over to his neighbor's house, walk in the house, walk down the hallway, go into a teenage girl's bedroom, and sit on the edge of her bed and just stare at her. So, you know, and many people, I'll talk about this later on, but I'll tell you one reason why I think Cal Poly has keeping his distance in this case. They want nothing to do with Kristen's disappearance. And like I said, I don't know, but I think the reason why they want nothing to do with her disappearance is because they're afraid of the lawsuit of all lawsuits when this case finally gets solved. And here's one story that I know is true because I've seen the police report with my own eyes. And if I was a smart attorney, when it comes to court, I would definitely bring this up. Now, remember, Kristen disappeared on May 25th of 1996. The police report that I saw was dated 2 months earlier. So we're talking about February 25th, 1996, 2 months before Kristen disappeared. Now, the police report was referencing two incidences, one that was happened currently and one that happened 3 months earlier in December of 1995, okay? In December of 1995, the San Luis Obispo Police Department got a phone call, 911, from a couple co-eds. And they were living on the second floor apartment. And about 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, they looked out the window and a young man had scaled the balcony and was up on the second floor balcony looking through the window trying to break into the apartment. The girls freaked and they called 911. Luckily, the San Luis Obispo Police, they got there quick enough and they got a hold of, I want to say arrested Paul Flores, but they never arrested the guy. The girls didn't want to press charges because they said they were tired and they just want to go to bed. They just want to get him out of there. So they didn't arrest him. But a police report was made that this guy was scaling balconies, peeking into girls' windows. All right. Now let's go to February of 1996. A couple girls said that for about 6 weeks, they were getting phone calls to their apartment, like 30 a day, between 10 in the morning and noon, and then again at 10 at night to midnight. And the caller would just breathe and just hang up, kept on doing it over and over and over again. And they suspected that it was Paul Flores. Okay, so he was on their radar. They called the phone company to do a malicious phone call tracing, but they didn't get a hit on it because it was either a non-traceable call or they assumed Paul was using one of the earlier cell phones. But they looked up the police report, and they said that when Paul Flores was cornered by the police for scaling the girls. Now, Cal Poly knew this, and they chose to allow him to remain a student. And then May 25th, 1996, one of their co-eds, a beautiful Kristen Smart, is gone. And that may be one reason why the public doesn't really understand this. Nobody, the Cal Poly president, from Jeff Armstrong to the past ones, they refused to have anything to do with the Smarts. In August of 2015, I even emailed Jeff Armstrong. I said, can you please call the Smarts and just talk to them? Can you step up to a microphone and just make a public comment and support? They wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. And this is the president of the university. So, you know, I don't have a lot of love for Jeff Armstrong and his ilk. I don't want to be like that. He may be a successful businessman, but the moral character is not up to speed, in my opinion. So anyway, those are a couple stories about Paul. I've got plenty more, and I'm going to post these now. And just go to iTunes, and you can subscribe to my podcast. You'll get them all the time, just automatically. Thank you very much.